When people come in to my life and we surround ourselves with people, I want to find people that make me better. I like lifting people up. Don't confuse this with I expect to just be surrounded with people that bring me up. That's not true at all. And I love finding people that have a desire and opportunity wanting to learn and grow because the potential is addictive. I want like to be around those kind of people because, you know, sometimes as you get older and that you feel maybe lacking and you can actually feed off of it. And that's great. You can also feed off the negative things. And I don't want that. We have enough negativity in our lives. So be picky about the people and places and things you do. Welcome everybody to Self Storage Income. And today is just me. You got just me on here. Connor's out and I am excited to talk about a lot of things. And we are going to call this episode Real Talk with AJ Osborne because today I want to talk about the startup. I want to talk about the investing landscape of today, what we are seeing, changes that have gone on, but more really what it takes to move forward. I have had the absolute pleasure and amazing opportunities to work with so many people that have been vastly successful in life. I often forget this and how unique this is. So let me give a background so you understand. I sold insurance, which we did like group medical. So we worked with businesses and we worked with hundreds of employees all over the United States. But this went up to Fortune 500 companies, down to people with 20, 50 employees. And we worked directly with the C-suite. Now, this allowed me insight and to see business models, how they were working. I got to see this through the Great Recession. I've also had the pleasure of being surrounded by successful people in lots of different areas. I've been coached and I have been trained by people that were enormously successful and good at what they did. Far more than probably I will ever be or could be. This has been amazing for me over the last 20 years. And obviously I recognize that opportunity, but it is also something that I searched out for. And this is where we're going to start our real talk because I think it's important. The first thing is that you will only become the aggregate of who you surround yourself with. It is one area of my life that I have been astronomically picky with. I do not spend time with people due to convenience. I don't have friends and I do not have acquaintances and people I spend time with because they were around. I am very picky. Now, some people may say that's bad for some reason, that we shouldn't evaluate people whether we hang out with them or not, which I think is ridiculous and stupid that anybody would not, because you already do it to some point, right? Not only that, but when you look at your time, when you have as little time as I do, that time is very, very important. Now, make sure I make this clear. I'm not saying that I only hang around somebody if they're monetarily successful. That is not what I'm talking about. Okay. I am talking about more of the mentality, the approach that they have, and the way they go about life, how they figure out problems, that they are actual problem solvers, that they are doers, that it's not going to be somebody that we're going to sit around and I'm going to have to hear gossip or complaining. It is not somebody that is passing through or passing by. It is not somebody that is trying to take, but instead those that give and those that thirst for knowledge and those that thirst for growth and progress. This has been something that has benefited me immensely because it allowed me to understand and imitate things that worked and worked for other people. It allowed me to broaden my horizon and scope as opposed to shrinking it and making up excuses for why I couldn't do things. Instead, ask, how can we do these things? It is something that takes time and practice. It's a state of mind and mentality that I think some people are given. I do think part of it, I believe I am an eternal optimist. But I am also someone that can grasp the absolute negatives and downsides in the same breath, meaning that I can look and evaluate downsides without it affecting my emotional state. And lots of people can't do this, meaning they can't analyze good and bad. Instead, they just have to ignore bad. So they have the emotion of the good, which is scary to me. I don't need to do that because I have an idea of I can analyze, see the bad and the good, and we can make good decisions, and that will not stop us from going. Opportunities come all the time. Well, another reason why I'm so picky on the people and that are in my life is not just because of my over mentality and the way that they affect me and what I do, but is the overall impact and how passionate I am about what I'm doing. I don't believe in work-life balance. I think a lot of you have heard that and understand that. I believe there's just life. In fact, I believe balance cripples people, meaning they're trying to balance things that shouldn't be balanced at all, that they've subscribed to some weird thought process in life that I need to do X amount of this and X amount of this at X amount of times, and if I'm not, I'm failing. And if I don't love doing this at this time, I'm not a good person. For me, there's times when I work hard, really hard. I overwork, or what people may think of as that. But then there's other times where I play and I don't do anything at times. I have a weekend where it's just me and the kids and we're cuddling, right? And hanging out and watching shows. We're just not doing anything. And I think that those things are important. But I'm not trying to balance them. It is what it is. And when we want to do that, we do it. When we don't, it's more about being in a flow state. And you see people that are in flow states, right, versus people that are not. And that wears you down, trying to prescribe to a balancing or the way things should be. That wears you down because you feel like you're constantly failing at the things that you should be doing or you should be. And this is something that kills momentum, and you can't do that, right? It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be driven. It's okay to be, for lack of a better word, greedy, to want more. It's okay to want to be better. It's okay to have high standards. It is okay to be picky. It is okay to know what you want. And it is okay for you to make sacrifices to go get it or to have it. It is also okay for you to be totally, utterly content with nothing. And I think that too often we prescribe that either I need to be okay with the things that the way they are to be happy, or I need to be a ruthless go-getter, right? I need to be, and that's all I need to do. And those two things don't work together. There's a time and a place for everything. But balance is generally not in the cards, because that would assume that everything around you and inside of you is prescribing to that same balance. Opportunity doesn't care about your balance. When opportunity comes, you need to take advantage of it. When trials come, they don't care about your balance, right? When you want something, it's not about balance. When you're tired and when your body shuts down, it's not about balance. It is what it is. Now, when people come in to my life and we surround ourselves with people, I want to find people that make me better. I like making other people better. I like lifting people up. Don't confuse this with I expect to just be surrounded with people that bring me up. That's not true at all. And people that know that understand it. I love finding people that have a desire and opportunity, wanting to learn and grow, because the potential is addictive. I just love it. I love seeing young people that are so hungry. They want to learn. They want to know, and they are just in it. And that kind of energy, I love it. I want to be around those kind of people, because, sometimes as you get older and sometimes when you're tired and stuff, that you feel maybe lacking, and you can actually feed off of it. And that's great. You can also feed off the negative things. And I don't want that. We have enough negativity in our lives. And this year, guys, is going to be full of it. So first thing in real talk is be picky about the people and places and things you do. Movies you watch, music you listen to. Recognize more of your state and recognize more of your flow state. And if you feel good, do it. Throw balancing out the window. Now, I might say, if you're going to throw balancing out the window, you should probably have a very heart-to-heart and serious conversation with the loved ones in your life, especially if you're married and have children. So this is something that we know, and I've had discussions at, and they don't. Sometimes, like, I got to do what I got to do. And they're supportive of that. But they also know that there's the other side where I play and we do things and they're not prioritized. And let me make sure it's very clear. When my son has a basketball game, whether or not I'm in a flow state, I go to it. So it's not about prioritizing and it's not about leaving things behind. I want to make sure that's clear. Now, the other thing is why I'm bringing this up is the main point is, guys, this is hard. I think a lot of people think that building a business, investing, that they're waiting for that secret formula. And I did for a long time. I searched for it and thought it's like a math problem. I figured it out and it's done. One of the most liberating and frustrating things was that's just not how it works. That it's hard. And that there isn't necessarily straight line defined answers. Yes, of course. We can teach you, and we do on this podcast. Here is application-based things. Here's what you do when you're looking at rates, when you're looking at a market. Here's how you need to consider things for building. These are all tools that you can use as you apply them while you're doing. But I can't say this, this, and this, and you just go out and it just works. Because success and being successful operates in a space where things are opposites. What do I mean by that? I had a great mentor that came from a very big, successful family that owned one of the major, if not the major, hotel chains in the world. And he told me once, he said, you know, you will always be asked to do things that are contrary as a leader. And you have to be okay with that. And he was training me to be a leader. And what he meant by that was, I'm going to ask you to grow, but at the same time, I want you to budget and cut expenses. You need to create a good culture, but you also have to lay off employees. You need to be a good dad, but you also have to give everything that you have at work. Life is full of contradictions. And as a leader, you live in a world of contradictions. That is your world. You need to buy all these things, but you don't have the money. You need to get this, but you can't do that because you don't have time. You need to find solutions to operate in a world of contradictions. That's why leveraging is so important to people that are successful, because they're so limited that they have to use leverage to achieve anything. And they have to leverage. When I say leverage, I don't just mean money. I'm talking about time, resources, knowledge. You have to do this, but you don't know how. That's the first thing successful people get out of the way immediately. You have to build this company, even though you have no idea how. You have to invest in this. You have to build this, but you don't know how. Once people figure that out, how to live in the contradictions where I have to create, I have no idea how to create it, but I'm going to do it. That opens up floodgates immediately. Hey, podcast listener, are you looking at buying your first storage facility, but you're not confident in your numbers or don't know what risks may lie? Well, we actually do feasibility studies for storage facilities that you can even provide to your bank. We do the underwriting, we look at the market, we tell you where the upside is and the risks so you can move forward in confidence and have a business plan so day one, when you buy that facility, you know what it's worth and what you need to do. Follow the link in the description so you can learn about hiring us to underwrite your deal.
There's no two ways about it. The self-storage industry is one of the most incredible industries to be a part of. Tenant Inc. is your one-stop shop solution for all things property management. They have a plethora of amazing tools at your fingertips that you can use to optimize your facility, to maximize revenues, and to really drive value. Be sure to check out Tenant Inc. Link is in the show notes.
Now, in life, as a leader, we don't get to compartmentalize really well. We try to, I try to, but it just doesn't work. First of all, because there's this flow state, right? It's the circumstances don't care about our wants and needs. And this is a very important lesson. The market does not give a crap what you want. The market could care less that you want to become a millionaire. Nobody cares but you. Right now, maybe your mom will say, oh, that's sweet, go get it, honey, but nobody cares, and that's okay. They shouldn't care, so stop worrying about it. Now, when we look at these contradictions and when we look at trying to compartmentalize these things, it doesn't work well. And because people do this, they have to pick and choose. So because you compartmentalize, that means at any time you have to pick and choose. It's either bad or it's good. I either can cut expenses or I can grow. You're picking and choosing one or the other. That means you will decide which to do. But that's not how the reality works. You actually have to do both. So compartmentalizing these things as a leader, it can't work, can't function. And I see leaders that do this, and the individual decisions that they make are too much. They can't hold, we may be having this problem, but we're being successful here. It's either all bad or all good. Now, I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking because this is something that I deal with, right? And it's a very human thing to do. Oh, I either suck or things are going bad, or things are going good and man, I'm awesome, right? That's a human thing to do because it is emotional reaction to our circumstances and we're identifying with those and we're feeling that that is a reality and that creates highs and lows of entrepreneurship. Every entrepreneur you've ever met will always joke and talk about, one minute I'm either bankrupt or the next minute I'm gonna be a billionaire. It's so extreme. And it's because the circumstances that they're operating within are so real and they have to figure out, oh, all right, going bankrupt. Oh, no, we're succeeding. Man, this is working great. We're going to be billionaires, right? And that changes rapidly because we don't have control of the circumstances of the market. We're operating within them, right? You have to have periods of time when the market sucks, but you still have to perform. I know a lot of you are feeling that way, and a lot of my storage operators are feeling that way today. It can be hard when you have to communicate hard things to investors, to employees, where you have to say, in order to be successful, we're going to do these hard things. Now, when you're a leader, you do that. But people don't like that. Well, in order to be successful, we're going to limit distributions so we can reinvest the capital, so we can hold it, have high reserves, because the market's unknown. Right? That's the right thing to do. But people don't like it. And so then they say, oh, you're failing, or we don't like this, or we don't like what you're doing, because what they're receiving or what they're getting in their reality is not good. So they perceive it as it's a failure or bad. That doesn't even mean that that's true. Right? And so when you look at that, that is the whiplash of leadership. That is the whiplash of doing things that have to be done to perform, even though it seems like those things may be bad. Once again, laying off staff while growing the company. Those two things can happen. Jack Welch was a perfect example of that. He absolutely cut and slaughtered staff, just mass layoffs, just absolute slaughter. I mean, it was wild. And then he received growth from that. Totally counterintuitive at the time. People thought that doesn't make sense. How can you limit resources but have an expansionary period? This is true with people beginning. I have limited resources, so I can't grow. The one thing you learn about being successful is that you always have limited resources. There is never enough money because that's not how it works. Let me explain. You don't have a $1 trillion company because you were a billionaire. You became a billionaire because you had a $1 trillion company, but you're not worth trillions, you're only worth billions. There's a leading indicator, right? Meaning that as the thing grows, then so does your resources. But you always have to get resources to grow the thing so you can get more resources. It's a catch 22. It is opposites existing in the same world, right? People can't deal with that. They think you were successful only because you had resources. But yet the successful people are always short of resources because what they're building is bigger than what they have, or they wouldn't have it. Opposites. And most people don't understand that. It is hard. It's tough. And that's okay. It's supposed to be. And that's why we grow. And that's why you look at successful people. And that's why you look at people that have accomplished a lot. And there's almost the sense of wisdom that they have, right? And understanding. Why? Because they're scarred. They've been beaten up and beaten down. They've had people try to take advantage of them. They've had to make hard decisions that hurt them personally. And lots of them. They had to do things they didn't like to accomplish things that were good. Opposites. So, that brings me to my next point. Opposites is actually how you're successful. Like, we're in a down economy. There's no money or there are no deals or, you know, it's hard. That's actually where the best deals come from. That's actually where the most growth will come from. That's where you'll be the most successful. But because the outward circumstances produce a negative effect and emotion, then what happens? You assume that the circumstances are negative and everything from it will result is negative, which isn't true. That's not how it works. That's not how investing works. That's not how economics work. And so understanding that allows you to move forward. Now, taking the information and analyzing it in a non-emotional way, right, is obviously the key. When you're starting, that's hard because you have limited information. You have limited experience to fill in. So it's what you're seeing and feeling has a larger impact on that outcome and that decision. That's why we hire out. That's why we leverage other people so we can get their insight to understand. And then we have to move forward based upon our analysis, our insight, others. After 2008, when times were really, really hard, when we'd buy a deal, I was nervous and I was scared. I remember our first big deal we bought. It was $3 million. And that $3 million worried me immensely. We were in the middle of a real estate crisis. Everybody knew real estate is only going to keep going down. This is a bad investment. And two, I mean, at the time, it's hard. You know, we look back on things and it seems so obvious. At the time, though, there was nothing that said that this would turn around. And two, we had faith that obviously it would, as that's the only thing you could have done. But at the time, that could have been decades. We didn't know. Nobody knew. And it was a very, very hard time. So when we bought something like that, it's like, oh, it's cheap, but it'll go up. Yeah, but it already lost half its value. So who's to say it won't lose half more? So you could see how then nobody bought, nobody would do anything. We ran off our analysis and we said, I understand that, but the value is there. Whether it goes down or not doesn't change that the value that we're buying is worth it to today. That's great, but that's also scary and hard. But that's how we proceeded forward. Now, nobody was buying at the time, and we were idiots for buying. But also then we had another problem. Resources were very limited, banks, everything else like that. So then we had to figure things out. We had to do things non-conventionally. We had to do seller financing. I started other businesses. We ran other businesses. I worked two jobs to get more resources because we just couldn't leverage resources at the time. Didn't work. There weren't any. And banks and people weren't investing, especially not in real estate. But that just meant we had things we were going to figure out, solutions. Well, the same thing happens today, right? So right now, there's less money. You have high interest rates. And you still have low cap rates, and people are like, we can't do anything. And the thing is, well, the circumstances, although not favorable, it just means you have to change the way you're thinking about it, and you have to go about it in a different way. Now, this is hard. Money's limited, and I need lots of it. We've got lots of deals, and I'm trying to take advantage of the opportunities that are in the market today. But it's hard. But I also understand that's okay. It's okay that it's hard. Do I want it to be hard? No. Do I want to deal with these problems? No. But I know what the outcome will be. And we have to move forward and we have to figure it out. As a leader, you have to grow even when things may be bad and you may be shrinking. Meaning that you may have deals that have lower occupancy and maybe rents aren't as high, but then also you need to grow your company, so you need to go buy deals. But your deals aren't performing as good as they were 2 years ago, and yet you still got to go buy deals because you know that they're good and that it'll pay off in the future. Opposites, right? That's hard. It's even harder than to show people and have them understand and say, guys, this is a great thing, and this is how we hedge against all those downsides. Now, that brings me to the last part here that, as a leader, what you have to do. You can't eliminate risk. You have to manage it. So what we do is we manage the risk and we manage our timeframes and triggers and things on the which, I've talked about on this podcast a lot. You can go back and review them and you can listen to my value traps, my triggers, things like that, that would lead to problems. Now, there's only so much that you can do. Now, with that, that means I also have to have the mentality that we're going to be wildly successful, but at the same time, I could 100% be over. It could all be done. I could be bankrupt. I could lose everything tomorrow. Why? Because I can't control the circumstance. If we went into a depression or a world war or something like that, obviously it's over. I can't do anything about that. So I have to understand that those circumstances exist. And two, I can't plan on them, meaning I can't hedge against that risk, really. Now, there's certain things that you may say, oh, you can do, right? Like you may have no debt, you may do all these other things, but it's very extreme what you have to go into in different ways that you would have to do it. And two, if you're doing that, then you should probably buy other assets. So even if that, you don't know. People may not want storage in 5 years. Obviously, we don't see that happening, but you still don't know. Even if you had no debt, your business may be over. It may be worth nothing, and you paid a ton of money for it, so you still lost money. I have to be okay with that. I have to be okay with that reality, because anyone that says that would never happen are going to be just like the people prior to 2008 that said housing prices will never go down, or the people that were getting into storage that said small markets, like fourth tier markets, cap rates won't rise anymore, that they're going to stay low. This is stuff that I've heard. And that, what that does is that justifies you making actions and not doing the things that you should do to prepare, or not even buy or do that. So the best people are the people that can find opportunity and upside. They can sit consciously, accept risks, and do the things that they can do to manage it. This is why we've never lost a deal. This is why we've never gone bankrupt, is because I was okay looking not only at the downsides, but the reality of the situation, and applying very simple principles like time solves almost everything. So if you can work through time, you're okay. Now, people are so short-term thinking, they can't. This is everybody, meaning that, oh, distributions should come next quarter. I should be seeing my stock price go up, and it's not. That means it's over. That means it's done. It's gone. And yet that's a bad year, but then 2 years later, everything changed around and now the value's way more and you're getting way more upside in equity, right? Classic investor problem. We all have it. It's emotional driven, right? You need to be able to say that, listen, the value, you need to understand value and be able to say the value's here. We go through hard times or not, but it's okay. We'll make up for it. And time allows you to do that. It allows you to make up. It allows you to come back. Now, doing bad deals doesn't fix that. So let me make that very clear. That's why value, once again, is important to understand. And you shouldn't question it from short-term things, right? If short-term circumstances are going to dictate your long-term decisions, you should not be an entrepreneur or an investor. And you should definitely not take people's money. It's hard to remain strong when other people are worried and scared and judgmental, but that's once again what being a leader is about. It's about having opposites and understanding them, accepting them, and moving forward regardless of them. All right, everybody. I understand this is kind of a riff. I understand that this isn't necessarily actionable storage things. I am almost always heavy on the meat, right? We really spend a lot on this podcast on talking about the thing, the doing, the data, what we're seeing, research. We do not spend a lot of time on your mentality. So what I want you to do is this. If you liked this, please give me a 5-star review and write in the comments that you liked it, why you did. That tells me that I should do more episodes like this. Okay, so let me know if you liked it. If nobody likes it, I just will move back and we'll just keep doing our own thing. But I do think it's actually a very important piece to our journey and moving forward. And I don't talk about it a lot. I don't talk about the struggles. I don't have that real talk about what it means for you and how you need to operate, to invest, to build, to create. And it's something that I talk about with other people, particularly successful people, that we understand. The reason being is I want to provide tremendous amounts of value to everyone, and I also want to be able to give you insights that maybe you're not getting. Like, I can show you actual numbers. Like, I view it as the podcast and my Instagram and my other content. I'm trying to draw back the curtain a little, and I'm not even very good at it. I need to get way better at it, everybody. I totally admit. Especially when it goes to the short form content. The podcast, I think we do a good job on. But draw open the curtains and let people see behind, because that's what I wish that I had. But the topics and the things that we're talking about today, they are important, and I want you to be aware of them. So share this online. But once again, if you like it, let me know. 5-star review. Put in the comments that you love the podcast, you love this episode in particular. And if we get people doing it, I'll keep making this more of a regular thing, and we'll talk about what it means to be successful, move forward, and we'll continue talking about what we're feeling and how that mentality in the marketplace and how to take advantage of it. More about you and you in action. With that, everybody, thank you so much. Appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.